Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome all of us to the house of the Lord. Welcome to the house of the Lord once again. We are here to worship the name of our God and to give him praise and honor and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has for the church this evening. And thank you so much for tuning in and watching this live stream, whether it's right now live or after the fact. Thank you. I certainly appreciate it. You know, we spent time studying and reading the Word and researching and praying and searching for the will of God. And it's my joy and my pleasure to know that one or two people watch, you know, from time to time. Or maybe a little bit more than, or quite a bit more than that. But nonetheless, thank you. And it's my desire and my wish that the Holy Spirit will speak to you, that you will see the Lord Jesus Christ himself and not me. I am a simple servant of the living God. I worship this God. I praise him. I give him all that I have, the best that I have. And my desire is always for you to hear from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We have an extensive list of verses this evening, and I want to get into our Bible study right away. It's not going to be terribly long, but I do have some key points that I want to get through tonight. It won't be a two-part sermon, so let's get started right away. Let's go into the presence of the Lord with prayer. Amen? Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, so much for this beautiful, beautiful day. This wonderful weather, Lord, that we are enjoying right now. Thank you, Lord, so much for all of the flowers and the greenery and the birds and this wonderful season, Lord, that you have blessed us with. I thank you, Lord, that we can come to this house and worship you freely. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do here, Lord, in our midst. And Lord, right now, as we study your word, I pray, Lord, that you will open your word up and may we understand, Lord, every single thing that the Spirit has for us this evening. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you open up the minds and the hearts of not just everyone here tonight, but everyone that's watching right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, once again. And it is in the wonderful name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have we brought our Bibles? Yes. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you, brother. Yeah, very nice. Yes. Praise the Lord. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, verse 8. Thank you very much. It has become a race. Praise God. And that's all right. Boy, that's quick. A holy race. That's right. We're going to start out this evening with Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 8 and then also cover verse 9. I'm going to read both of those verses together. And I think most of us are there already. And okay, I'm ready for that, please. The word of the Lord says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." Amen. Do we know who we are talking about right now? That's right. That's right. This name here that's right behind me, Jesus Christ. We are referring to the Lord Jesus, what he has done, and what our Heavenly Father has done to our Lord as a result. The name of our Lord Jesus is above every name. And above every single thing. If you notice, when we are ministering prayer for someone, when we are praying for someone for their healing, for their deliverance, for guidance, whatever the case might be, for someone else, it is always in the name of Jesus. It is not any special power that I myself, I'll use myself as an example, Teddy Santos, was born with, inherited, or anything like that. It is nothing that you would have. It's all through the power of this name, the name of Jesus. We have had testimonies here, and even in men's meeting, we had a brother, he's an elder here at the church, who had an experience, he had an encounter with a spirit, an evil spirit, who came and was harassing him in his bedroom one night. And he fought that spirit, woke him up in the middle of the night, and he fought him with the name of Jesus. And when he came against that spirit with that name, the spirit fled. It ran. And this has been going on for years and centuries and centuries and centuries. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and that's it. And they obeyed. There are times where it's recorded in the Bible that the demons pleaded with the Lord Jesus for this not to happen, for that not to happen. Our God, our Lord Jesus, had power. And now that he's not physically here on earth, but his spirit is here with us, we can do the same thing through this name. Because this name has been above, is above everything that exists. When the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, it literally is all things according to his will, according to his purpose. And our Lord Jesus Christ, once upon a time, humbled himself from the divine form to human form. He became one like us, and from complete sinless humanity to sinful and corrupt infamy. Even the death of the cross, as the word of the Lord says, bearing the sins of all mankind, so that way we can be overcomers, we could be winners, that we can have eternal salvation. As is described right now in Philippians 2, starting in verse 8. But right now, I want to bring to your attention a secondary verse that mirrors what we're talking about right now. And we're going to be breaking down this verse bit by bit, piece by piece. May I please have 1 Peter 2:24. The word of the Lord says, who himself, notice that himself here, H, is capitalized, so we know who we're talking about here. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, you and I, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen? If you notice here right now, in the beginning here, I mentioned the name of Jesus and how powerful this name is and the power that we have through his name. I know of countless stories, myself included, my wife, people that we know, people that she knows, out in traffic, and all of a sudden something is about to happen that's unstoppable, and they cry out the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden something miraculous just happened, unexplainable, should not have happened, right? all of a sudden they call upon the name of Jesus, and the Lord in his infinite grace delivers us from trouble, from something. So there is power in this name, no matter what the circumstance might be. But now, in the book of Peter, he's talking about his body, dying for us on the tree, referring to us being dead to sins and living for righteousness. And then he wraps up by saying that by the stripes of our Lord Jesus, we have been healed. We have been healed. Amen? Let's break this verse down piece by piece. This is what the Lord put in my heart for me to speak this evening. We're going to start out with his own flesh, his own body. Our Lord Jesus himself, and not another in his place, died for our sins. He died for our iniquities. And he died so that way we would receive healing, all different types of healing. I want to point out a verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. May I have that, please? For I delivered to you first of all that which I also receive, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Right now, Paul is saying that just as much as I have received, this is for you also. That the Lord has died for my sins. That the Lord has given me victory. And this is also for you and available for every single one of us. Equally, Matthew 26, verse 28. May I have that, please? For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ and through this avenue that we can have forgiveness of sins. I just want to make known that there is not enough good things that you can do to wipe away your sins or to be forgiven about a particular thing or for you to receive your healing. Whatever it is, there is nothing that you can do to earn all of that. It is a gift from God. And it is up to every single one of us to receive this gift with an open heart. As a matter of fact, Sister Sarah Boland just spoke about this past weekend. There's nothing that we can do that will earn us anything. God has given all of this to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he did that by giving himself up for us. May I also have Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which the Lord purchased with his own blood. You have been purchased. You have been redeemed. And you want to know something? You got top dollar. You got top. Your worth is beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. If the Lord has given his own Son, imagine the deity, the God Almighty, above every single thing that created everything, gave his only begotten Son to die a horrific death so that we could inherit eternal salvation, so we could be winners, overcomers, healed through the power that is in the name of Jesus, you are priceless. And the Lord's saying right now that you are worth it. You were worth it and still is worth every single, and I'll use the analogy, penny. Every single dollar. Of course, all those things are meaningless. The dollar goes up and down, you know. But you understand what I'm trying to say. You are worth more than diamonds, more than gold. The price that the Lord paid for your salvation. And the Bible says that the Lord bore our sins in His body. He bore the punishment due to our sins. He took it upon Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. In no other sense could He have bore our iniquities. It could never been done any other way. And in His own body, in the human body that was prepared by God for Him, He became just that. He became sin for us. Did you know that our Lord God, God the Father, especially prepared a body for the Lord Jesus Christ? I was thinking about this afternoon on the way here to church. You know, in school, when we were learning about anatomy, the human anatomy, how babies, children, when a child is made, it takes a man and a woman, and it is up to the man and his chromosome to determine what the gender of the baby is going to be, right? Because if it wasn't, every child would be a girl. So it's up to the man and his chromosome to, depending on his, there's various things that go into that, to determine a male child or a female child. True or false, right? Yeah, okay, the gender, right. And here, we know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a virgin when she gave birth to the Lord Jesus. And I thought about that and I was like, wow, this is so wonderful how the Lord has made things. Because that seed came from a man. And that man was God. God the Father. How supernatural things are. And wasn't it just recently someone shared with me that they claim to have found, and this is an ongoing debate, and I cannot prove it, but nonetheless, I thought it was quite entertaining, and I like to believe it. As a matter of fact, I don't disbelieve it, how they have found the Ark of the Covenant. And they claim that they have found it underneath where our Lord Jesus was crucified. And they have found specks of blood on the covenant. And when they ran, they tested that blood, it was missing one chromosome. How many chromosomes are in a blood in the cell? Is it 46, I think, or 44, 42? I'm thinking it's like a 40s number. What was that? No, okay. What is it? 32? Is it 32? Is it in the 30s? I thought it was in the 40s. I could be wrong. But you combine the woman chromosome and the man chromosome, put them together, and I think it's an even number. 46. Thank you. Thank you so much. 46. So then they found only 45. It was minus one. They found 45 chromosomes. They have never, ever seen that before. Ever. It's a human blood with 45 chromosomes instead of 46. That explains a lot. We know who that one missing chromosome belongs to, right? That one. Let me show you right now. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. May I have that, please, Dion? The word of the Lord says, therefore, when He came unto the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. What is he referring to right now? That the Lord God, God the Father, formulated a very special body for our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that all these good works and all these sacrifices and all these things that mankind can do and all this money that you can give and all these good deeds and all these things, you did not desire. But you prepared a very special body for me. And we know the purpose of that body. To die on the cross for my sins, for our sins. A body that God made for the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this body is where all of our diseases went, all of our sins, and it was nailed to a cross. May I please have Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And this is why I say, through his name, the most powerful name in the universe is how I am able to conquer. It's how I am able to overcome. My Lord gave himself up for us. He became a curse for me, so that way I can have eternal salvation. The word of the Lord says that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. The stripes that he received on that body, the God the Father prepared for him, so that we could be overcomers, so that I can be healed. And I want to cover three reasons right now for our Lord's death for us. You might be thinking, well, Pastor, you haven't covered that already. Well, technically not, because I'm really going to dial in right now. I'm only going to cover three reasons tonight. And these are the main points that we should all walk away from this evening. The very first one, that we might be dead to sins. That we might be dead to everything that displeases God. Do you understand what I mean, be dead to sins? Is that that term understandable? No more. Cease. Let me show you right now, Romans 6, starting in verses 6 through 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with our Lord Jesus, the old man, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. This is what it means for us to die to the world, for us to die from our old nature. The Bible says that you are a new creation, that we are a new creation in Christ. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand spanking new, fresh, crispy, 0 miles. We have died to our former self. What we used to do, we do no more. It doesn't exist. We don't think about it. We're not stuck in the past. It doesn't hang on to us by the hip, and I can't shake it off. It's none of that. The name of the Lord is powerful. His blood is powerful, and it is able to overcome and conquer any and every single thing that you might be going through right now, tonight. Amen? Once again, knowing this, that our old man, meaning our previous self, was crucified. It died with the Lord. That the body of sin might be done, completely done away with. that we should no longer be slaves to our former past. For he who has died has freed you and I from that harassment, from that disease, from that sin, whatever the case might be. So reason number one that I want to share tonight, that we might be freed from all of that nonsense. And it is possible. 100%. Amen? Praise God. We confess in baptism that the old man was crucified with God. Our old man refers to all that we were as once upon a time children of Adam. What do I mean by children of Adam? Our old, evil, and unrepented self, with all of the old habits that we used to do, all of the old appetites, the old cravings, the old addictions. At conversion, we put off the old man and put on the new man, as if exchanging, for example, filthy rags to spotless clothing. Let me show you right now Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him, who created you and I. The crucifixion of the old man at Calvary means that the body of sin has been put away with completely. And the body of sin does not refer to the physical body. Let me go ahead and make that clear right now. Rather, it means indwelling sin that's inside of us, which is personified as a tyrant, ruling person, enslaving us, that has been chopped down. Do we understand? Was that clear? Yes? Amen. This body of sin, the word of the Lord says, is completely done away with. And that is totally annihilated. The last clause shows that this is the meaning of all of this. It says that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The tyranny of sin over us has been 100% completely broken. You are a new creation. You are a changed person. No more depression. No more fits of rage. No more confusion. None of that. Sound mind. The mind of Christ. This is how it ought to be. That's the first thing. The second thing. The second reason why this had to be done on the cross is so that we might live unto righteousness, where once upon a time we could not. May I please have Romans chapter 3, verse 26. And the word of the Lord says, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It is through this faith in the Lord, that we receive our healing, that we receive our blessing, that we receive eternal life. Once we leave this earth, we are destined to a place. You either go north or you go south. I'm just using an analogy right now, right? To make sense. You're going to go one of two ways. You're not going to go east and west. Or you're not going to be hoovering around. You're not going to come back as this, that, and the other thing. No. We all have a destination when we leave here. And it's going to be one out of two places. And the reason that our Lord died for our sins is so that we can be with Him forever. And it starts right here on this earth. And the third and final reason that I want to bring up tonight and with this I'm going to conclude, is that you and I might be healed. This is why he died on a cross for us. Healed from our emotional damage. Healed from bodily damage. Healed from any type of curse upon our lives. This blood, the name above every other name, has conquered all of that on the Calvary. Every single thing. Amen. Amen. Without holiness, no man is going to see God. Without this faith, without the faith in the Lord, the practicing Christian, the fervent Christian, the person that is for real for the Lord, this is the only way that we are going to be able to please God. This is the only way that we're going to inherit salvation. And I know potentially some of you right now might be saying, well, Pastor, that's quite a tall order. Well, I didn't say it was going to be easy now, did I? We need to work our salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ went above and beyond what I could ever, ever possibly do. And all that he asks is for our commitment. It's for our lives. It's for us to walk in dignity. Walk according to his word. Walk according to what he has set as far as law is concerned for every single one of us. And as a result, the Lord said, you will be a conqueror. You will overcome. You will have power. So we can do it. We just have to be willing. Amen? When the Bible says that by whose stripes you were healed, end of story. Over and done with. That's it. And I believe. I wholeheartedly 100% believe. Physical healing is part of the redemptive work by our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom stripes I am healed. Now, as I'm studying this verse, approaching tonight's message, I was recollecting, I think Brother Cecil mentioned this once upon a time, how our Lord Jesus, or maybe twice upon a time, how he went around healing everybody, right? No one was exempt. And I think it was a Wednesday night evening service where Brother Cecil mentioned that, you know, they weren't Christians. Right? They weren't, quote unquote, believers. But they still received their healing. The Bible doesn't go into detail for the most part if they all of a sudden became Christians, if they left their old ways, you know, these are all people who were potentially unbelievers, or at least a portion of them, you know. There are people who have humbled themselves before the Lord, Jesus, who have asked, who have pleaded, Lord, pray for my son, pray for my daughter. Lord, heal my sight. Heal my leprosy. You know, they have asked. They have humbled themselves before God, and the Lord did something because they acknowledged his deity, and they have faith in God. And that pleased our Lord Jesus. But nonetheless, imagine now. I'm saying this to say right now. Now that the Lord Jesus has already died for our sins, and now that his name is above every other name, and now that we know that God has given that power to the church, how much more now does it mean? How much more powerful right now is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? How much more powerful right now is the blood of Jesus? This is the power that we must exercise. This is the power that we stand on. This is what we believe. And this is what works. Even now, after the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was once said on Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, these words. We all know this verse very, very well. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins, our trespasses, our transgressions here. And then it says, the chastisement for our peace was upon the Lord Jesus. And by his stripes, you are healed. This was, as Kevin Zadai says, this was all rigged from the very beginning. Since the beginning of time, it was all rigged. It was all spoken about since our Lord Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. So there's no running from it. We cannot downplay it. We cannot say, but Pastor, that no, this was already written before our Lord Jesus came to earth. It was already spoken for, and then it was done. Just as it says in Matthew now, chapter 8, verse 17, and I'm closing with this. It says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by, what would you just read right now? Isaiah, right? Isaiah 53, 5. By Isaiah the prophet saying, he himself took our iniquities and bore, our infirmities and bore our sickness. So, it's done. It's over and done with. You can't run away from it. There's no two ways about it. It is done. And this is one of the main reasons why our Lord Jesus Christ had to do what he did for us. So we can have eternal salvation. So that we can live a righteous life through him. And that anything that comes our way, it's over and done with. By his stripes, we are healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe? Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this promise. Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you that by your holy name, the name above every single name, we are more than conquerors. By this name, we are healed. By this name, the name above all names, we can do all things, Lord, for the honor and glory of your holy name. And we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for our healing. Lord, we thank you that the battle is already won through you, Lord Jesus. And this is why we say that we love you. And we shall always love you for as long as we live. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood on the cross, for the remissions, Lord, of my sins, of my iniquities. Thank you, Lord, for healing our emotions. Thank you, Lord, for healing our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for restoring us back, Lord, to health. Back, Lord, to what you intended things to be. Lord, thank you. Thank you so very much. And we give you praise, Lord. And we exalt your holy name. I pray, Lord, for everyone here tonight and everyone, Lord, right now watching online. I pray, Lord, that they will stand on this name, that they will never, Lord, give up, never lose hope, and know that there is power in this name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this power through the Lord Jesus Christ. May we always know, Lord, who we are in you. May we know, Lord, our identity in you, Lord. Exalted be your holy name. Lord, we love you, and we will always love you. And it is in this wonderful, matchless, sweet, holy name that we pray. Amen. God bless you.